One is graduating, one is leaving us. You know, and so we have Wu Zhong. Would you come first to share your thoughts? Your thoughts about your time here, 6 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Let me give you this. On you, they want to record you, so you forever is on the record.
Okay. So hi, I'm Wu Zhong. I have been here for 6 years. I came to UVA for my PhD studies in economics, and I have been in this church for 6 years. And I think I'm grateful to say that I have come to know God more over the past 6 years, not through some victories over sins, but through countless failures and the people who he placed around me. So there's a question that has been at the center of my faith journey in the past years, which is might be very basic to some of you. The question is God real? Real in the sense that he is exactly as described in the Bible.
Mm.
And, you know, the question is followed by, if so, then why are there so many sufferings? Where is God when it hurts? Struggling with these questions actually helped me a lot with building my relationship with God. I spend most of my time serving the seeker group in our fellowship. And you can imagine such questions God asks a lot. Moreover, I think in the mere 10 years since I became Christian, actually many of my close friends in Christ have walked away from God and or the church. So I ask myself this question a lot. And of course, during those difficult times, these kind of questions will appear more intensely. So theologically, we have answers to that, right? We have answers to why this God is real, why our faith is not in vain. Our Christianity is, after all, based on facts. The fact that Jesus came and died and revived. I myself find it hard to deny such a fact. And so, maybe this is true, right? But this seems to me is more about knowledge rather than experience. I long for more experience of God. That was one of the reasons why I mainly served the seeker group. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus promised us that he is with us after he gave us the great command. And in the Chinese version, there's a more clear causal relationship between evangelization and Jesus being with us. And that was why I mainly served the seeker group. I did experience God, experience his presence in the seeker group. Not only did I get to see God's work on the face of the seekers, I think, for example, the very fact that Yuan Haoting is here today is one of the example, right? And then, but also I got to, I myself have moments of being moved by the Spirit, especially during the Bible study that I led. So there were moments in the seeker group, feeling touched by the verses that I never pay attention to when I prepare for the study. And there are moments having new insights and different ideas from the verses that I have prepared. So God is there when we are doing Bible study, but where is God when there are sufferings? Or why are there even sufferings if God is good? And I think every Christian has some sort of answers to these questions to rationalize the sufferings, right? But when you are asked these questions by someone who are going through hard times, you will realize that your answers are are very powerless. Like your answers are far from enough to them. And especially if you are sensitive enough not to be like Job's friends, right? And then, yeah, I mean, if you are the one who are going through these difficult times, the answers you once had might be powerless as well. So I'm not going to share my any answers that I have, but I can say that I experienced God's presence during these times, especially those difficult times in the past 6 years, not through answered prayers or some of the epiphanic moments like hearing voices or dreaming of God. No, there's really no such moments. I mean, some of prayers were not even answered or as I wished. I found God's presence in his people, Christians. So I think John chapter 15, verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. And Galatians chapter 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So God actually loves us so much that he allows us who are broken and unable to love to represent him on earth. And I think I can like sense his presence on his people, sense his glories on his people through their prayers and companionship during my struggles. And then what about those who have no Christians around them when they are suffering, and or those who have never heard of God? I remember there was a missionary visiting our fellowship, sharing her experience in Chad, an African country of poverty and wars. She shared stories of children who saw no hope at all and who are very bitter about everything in their lives, including Christian faith. So I asked her these questions. If you, some of you were there, you might remember. And she answered that heaven should be the answer. If there's no heaven, then God has done us all wrong. I think I didn't really appreciate this heaven when I first came to believe, right? There were so many, I mean, I was young and there were so many things to do, so many things to expect. But I got to appreciate more how precious this heaven is, as God has promised us. Maybe, I mean, in the future, maybe I got a family, I might, you know, want to stay in this world for longer time, right? But I mean, it's just, I get to appreciate this heaven. It's like, I get to long for this heaven more. And yeah, I mean, this could be because maybe I just became more cynical, right? And maybe just after some disillusion from my research, all that stuff, I don't really know. But yeah, like, let me just conclude with the following verses, and I hope you can read this together. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to the end. We can open that to read it together. I think these verses are quite a good summary of the past 6 years, the lessons I have learned through past 6 years. Romans chapter 8, starting from verse 15. So the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we might also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation were subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected. In hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We note that the whole creation has been growing as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be confirmed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And can we read this together for the following parts? Starting from 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have not prepared as much, but this is a sharing, so I just have to share what has kind of been on my heart and my experience over these last couple of years. So I think I want to start in 1 Corinthians 12, 4, talking about the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then at the end, at verse 11, all these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I think a lot about this passage when I consider my time here in Charlottesville. So I came during COVID when Shelley was a grad student. She had just finished her first year. And it was gracious enough that my company has a branch in Elkton, which is about 45 minutes from here. Now, it was during COVID, so there was not a lot of opportunity to meet with people and find friends or find activities. And it was also a little bit more difficult to find church as well, because everybody was online and the places that you could go to was very limited and you couldn't even meet people anyways. So one of the things, though, was that Shelley was attending this church's Bible study that was on Fridays. And back then, it was in Chinese. And I am passable at Chinese. and mainly the way to get through the Bible study was not my knowledge of the language, but probably on the English Bible, where it's like, oh, this is somewhat the same verse. This is some ideas that I expect would be covered. So contributing and also hearing the discussion in Chinese was a lot harder. So during this time, I definitely felt like my skills were a lot lower. This is not my spiritual gifting to lead these Bible studies. Even though leading English Bible study, I felt pretty comfortable and pretty capable to do. But this is definitely a time where I felt my spiritual gift was not here. It was very difficult to contribute and serve in that capacity. Later on, we came to this church and we did have some youth in the during the time. It was like a couple of sophomores and juniors, and I was able to help. Me and Shelley were able to help to do the Sunday school for them, and so I was like, okay, there's not too many students, but at least I am gifted in this capacity and I'm able to teach them. So that happened for a period of time, and then we started English worship. And I'm able to help out here. We had some discussion groups. And then during Friday night, we had English Bible study, where people could study the Bible in English in addition to Chinese. And some people wanted to do the English Bible study. Some wanted to stay in the Chinese Bible studies. So I felt like there were a lot of opportunities for me to use my giftings of English and also studying the Bible in a way that I could possibly serve. And I think another one that was also really transformative was going to Lynchburg. So going to Lynchburg, it has a lot of the Chinese churches, and those Chinese churches have a lot more Asian Americans, a lot more English speaking people. And I felt like I had a better capacity to serve there. Like, I am very Asian American, as you might be able to tell. So being able to relate with them, with their culture, their jokes, was a lot easier than with Chinese international students. I don't know the language very well. I don't know the jokes. I don't know the food. So it felt a lot better. And so then we started English worship here, where we were able to serve. And then recently, last year, being able to start Sunday school, English Sunday school, and being able to serve that way. So overall, I felt like my time here, there was some spiritual gifts I did have, but they were not able to manifest very fully at the beginning. And it was kind of hard to interact, hard to immerse myself, but you know, I tried to be faithful. I tried to do some of the things I could. I could say a couple of the Chinese words, that I knew that contributes to the Bible study that might clarify things. And they were also gracious enough to listen to my English. But I felt like this is the spiritual gifting where the Holy Spirit will distribute it and is on us for to be faithful to use them for the common good of the church. So during this time at the church, I have seen that we're small, but we have people that have various spiritual gifts. And I wouldn't even say that just spiritual gifts were useful. Sometimes like physical gifts were useful. Some people could drive to certain places. People would want to go to certain events together and we could collaborate there. Some people like sports. They like to talk about different things. And I felt like there were different aspects of the church that would come together. And the big contribution was that were people being faithful and using their interests, their abilities, their things that the Holy Spirit has distributed and using it for the common good and contributing to that. So I felt like one of the big aspects is that we're small. We don't have a lot of people, but we're trying to be faithful with the things that we have been given. And when we are faithful, you know, community grows, people get closer because of that. And I think God is honored through that. So I think that's just my encouragement for everyone here, that the Holy Spirit has allocated to us different spiritual gifts. And are we using that for the common good? I tried sometimes to be faithful to it. There were definitely times where I did not feel I was able to, but God covered for it somehow, like joining Chinese Bible studies. But there are also times where God has given me some ability and I tried my best there too. I think one of the funny ones that I'll just share is that for a period of time, the Chinese group, they all got into Pokemon Go. And I played Pokemon Go since the start. And I knew all the, I had pretty high level, I'm pretty powerful Pokemon. And that was one of the times where I was actually consulted on what kind of things to do, some interaction there. And they would actually like go out and drive places to catch Pokemon and raid. And, you know, my Chinese is not that good, but my Pokemon knowledge is pretty good. So I would have to describe Pokemon by some of the different characteristics I knew, like the color, the typing, the shape, what animal it looked like. Maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. But that was one of the things where I felt like, oh, you know, this was some aspect that I had. And I didn't know that would contribute, but I felt like we got some better bonding because of it. But just as a conclusion, you know, I feel like God has given us different sports, different timings. Maybe some people can drive, maybe some people can cook. I think that was a big one that a lot of us who don't cook as much really appreciate it. But when we gift that to the church as a whole, I think we are better off for it. And God does call us to that community. So that is my sharing.
You can clap.
Nature of this ministry, this EM, English ministry, not even a ministry, it's just the English worship, just the nature of this this ministry is different from, let's say, an established church, because I see ourselves here as a wayward stations, people passing through, and this is a link to your next step, next locations. Because I think most of the students who travel through are college students, PhD students. They had no intentions to settle down here. But it is just as well, because this is an important link. I think most of the people who've been through Charlottesville take away a certain experiences. Maybe they will not have in the futures. You know, I know Tim and Shelly is going to go to a million people, Chinese people in Southern California. You know, everywhere you go is Chinese, and they speak English, they speak all kind of dialect. But Charlottesville is small. You're probably never going to have a small church like this unless you look for it. Most of the Chinese churches are fairly good size English congregations. So this is a unique experience, I think, for most of the students who come through Charlottesville. And we see this as an important link to take them to the next step, next locations, next experience. Okay, but I cannot let you guys go without some words. That's, you know, there's maybe a gift called speaking. Just talk. Just talk. Some people don't like to talk, but you know, I am a really shy person. And I had to talk because I have to. You know, I talk because I have to. All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy. This is a letter Paul has for Timothy, his disciple. And Timothy is young, right? And in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and Paul said, don't let the people look down on you because of your age. So I think 1 Timothy is words for the young people, or the young at heart, or the young in the faith. So 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's many advice here in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that he has for his disciple. But I think I picked chapter 4 because I feel it's more relevant to people like us. Chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 12. The Spirit clearly says that in later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who knows the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myth and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this, we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for words. Thank you that your words is eternal. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you speak to us through your servant Paul's words. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love our young graduates, what they say, their testimony. I wonder what would Paul say to them, right? And this is what Paul said to them. And the first thing I think we as people, especially young people, is to have the wisdom and discernment to deciding and observing the time. See, in verse chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in later time. Now, we don't know what's later time means, but at this time, the people abandoned their faith and followed deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits. And they are taught by demons. Things taught by demons. So I think one of the things that you, as a young person, is that you have to have the wisdom and discernment to know what time and culture that you're in. The time and culture you're in. I think it's much harder for young people to grow up in today's society, today's culture, than when we were growing up. When we were, there's so many temptations. There's so many things that we were completely unaware of, you know, during the time we were growing up. You know, LGBTQ. I mean, what is that? I for a long time, I still don't know what LGBTQ symbolize. What does it mean? Their acronyms. These are the things that we never been taught when we were young. Suicides, young people killing themselves. That never. I mean, at least when I was growing up, that I have never heard of young people killing themselves. Mass shooting. What are you talking about, mass shooting? You know, if people go out and just start shooting, go to school, start shooting. You know, you got 10 and 20 people die, student die because of that. You know, right now, my daughter said it's so sad that they have these, they call, in the school, they have this active shooter drill. And you're talking about elementary school, you know, fifth grade, active shooting drills. You know, what happens if somebody come in to start shooting? Oh, this would never happen in our time, but this is happening in your time. And you have to be aware what kind of time and culture that I'm living in right now. I'm just doing a survey. I just did a survey. You know, there's an entertainment. The entertainment when we were young are very simple. Very simple. There's no different rated movies. There's no G, PG, R. What else? PG-13. And then, I don't know, there are other ratings. That's why everybody go watch the same movie, you know? So there's the entertainment, the TV show, the podcast, and all this. It's just overwhelming today. But it also give you many choices. Give you many choices. That you can choose to what to watch, what to hear, what to listen. So the entertainment. And then there's fashion and cosmetic. This thing is, I don't know. You know, if you ever see the movie, what, Devil Wears Prada? Have you seen that movie? And then this one girl is clueless about fashions, you know? And then she said, she looked at one set of clothes has this color, you know? And she just, you know, salesman, the color. She was commenting on the color of the clothes. And then this guy told her, this lady who's supposed to be the, you know, high fashion person, told her, you know how this color comes about? And then it has all sorts of history to go with that one color. And this is our today's world, people care more about the color than about life. You know, one of the richest men in the world is a Frenchman called Bernard Arnault. You know who he is? He is worth $187 billion. He's the chairman of LVMH, who is the owner of Louis Vuitton, Christian Dior, all these high fashion houses. He's one of the richest men in the world because people buy their stuff, buy his stuff. Brand name, fashion is a big business. This is the world in which you live in. You know, you buy into that. You buy into that. You think that, you know, $100 worth of pair of jeans from Levi is worth more fashionable than Kirkland brand. Kirkland brand, which is about $20. But that's the mindset that you get from what? From the fashion sense in this world, in this culture. Music. How about music? I don't know what kind of music you guys are listening to. We listen to Les Mis, you know, all these opera, you know? But I guess they're boy bands. I don't know who are the boy bands these days, the fashionable boy band. K-pops. I know K-pops. You know, people listening to K-pops all the time. Oh, yeah. I'm getting tired just to look through the survey. You know, this is the culture in which you live in. This is the culture you live in. Social media, mass media, podcasts. They are created, they're catered to individual likes and dislikes, tastes and political alignment. These platforms divide us into small tribes and pit them against each others. That's what podcasts is. That's what podcast is. Sports. Oh, yeah, sports. Big thing. Sports. I am a sports fan. But, you know, it's more about the personality rather than the game itself. Think about Patrick Mahomes. How many people have never heard of Patrick Mahomes? You? Okay. And she's my wife. Okay. And how about Tiger Woods? How many of you heard Tiger Woods, right? And then what? LeBron James. Shohei what? Ohtani? You know who these people are? I mean, the girl maybe not, but the guys all know who these people are. Big sports stars. Big sports stars. So it's about the personality now in the sports. Video games. Oh, I had to look this up. Fortnite? Is that a video game? Fortnite, right? Minecraft? No, I know Pokemon. You know? How about the reality shows? You know, American Idols, these are reality shows, right? Temptation Island? Ever heard of it? Farmer Looking for Wife? This is a reality show. Sister Wives. Even they have a dating reality show called Golden Bachelor. You know what is that? That's what people age like me. Looking for dates. You know? Looking for dates. That's why they call it Golden Bachelors. But I'm just bring this out. This is the context in which that you guys live in. And this is what Paul tells us. This is the last time. This is the later time. This is the time. And in this, all these things, he said there's deceiving spirit. Deceiving spirit. It means deceiving spirit has embedded in a lot of these, what I just surveyed. Deceiving spirit is embedded in there. Don't be fooled. Don't be mindless. Don't be fooled by its alert. you know, interesting, beautiful. Yeah, Paul here is talking about food and marriage, right? You think food is no big deal. Your food, you know, eat or not eat certain food is a matter of taste, right? And convictions. Talk about convictions. I just realized that the Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, you guys know Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers neighborhood, you know, growing up, you know, he's a vegetarian. The reason he doesn't eat meat because he says, this is what he says, he could not eat anything who has a mother. So no meat. I said, maybe fish. Fish doesn't have mother, do they? I mean, they just, you know, sprung and then everywhere, right? So I don't know. But that's what he says. His convictions, his personal conviction. But however, in chapter 4, eating become a spiritual thing. By eating certain food, by abstaining from certain food, you become more spiritual. Getting married, not getting married, become a spiritual thing. And that is deceiving spirit speaking. This deceiving spirit. You know, it is understand that the eating has to related to spiritual thing. You know, Hindu doesn't eat a lot of meat because they believe in reincarnations. So that is connected to their. So you had to be discerning in even in this arena. And discerning in the sense of knowing some of the things, maybe the deceiving spirit is speaking to you. Just be careful. You know, when you say that you want to eat, eating too much, maybe it's not such a good thing. Abstaining from certain thing is not such a good thing either. And then just quickly, I see that we are supposed to go to the next door to sign our membership. I just want to mention one more thing. This is what God, Paul connected with everything, is that everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected. This is in verse 4. You got to have a big picture of God. As you leave here, I mean, not only you identify your time, your culture, but when you leave here, always have a big picture of God. Even when you have a big picture of God, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Paul speaking about food, but God is bigger than our popular culture. In that much of much of it is from the creativity of people. See, fashion is from creativity of people. It only becomes deceiving spirit put it in our heart that we had made it an obsessions. Made it an obsessions that you feel that your purse from Louis Vuitton is worth $2,000. Then let's say a purse from Costco, that's $20. Who talked to you about that? Who talked to you about that? The deceiving spirit of the culture. So identify that, but that purse is made from the creativity of people. Right? So that is good, but what is evil, deceiving, is when the demon make it obsessions. You know, talking about popular culture, right? Soccer is the most popular sports in the world. When you watch it, it's a beautiful game, they call it. A beautiful game. But you know, there's riots among the fans in soccer games. Well, how did that happen? A beautiful game became such an ugly game because the deceiving spirit has put it in the heart of these fans that what is beautiful and entertaining into for these people becomes a obsessions. And when their team lose, what they think is unfair, the judge made a, you know, made a call, and they riot. Oh, yeah. So what we need to see is that God is good in all these things that I just survey. I give you the survey. It's good. It's good. But we need to be discerning to know when that goodness turns into ugliness. And when the beauty turns into obsessions. When that our admirations of good turn into like assumptions, obsession, and so discerning your culture, look discerningly with a discerning eyes. Look at our culture with discerning eyes. Don't just buy into everything this culture is telling you. Don't buy anything, everything that this culture is telling you. I don't know how much time do you spend on your cell phone. You know, talking about, you know, intruding into your life, intruding into life. Cell phone is one of the most intrusive instrument. You says, oh yeah, I read sermon. I watch YouTube on the sermons and all that. Well, then a lot of people, because of that, they don't come to church anymore. They said, I can get a better sermon from YouTube than from my pastors. So why should I come to church? And people start going to church on the Zoom because he can roll off the bed and turn on the YouTube, and then there is the worship service for you. Intrusive. These are good things, right? These are good things that it helps during pandemic when we have Zoom worship. We continue to have Zoom worship. But then when the pandemic is over, people get used to it and stop coming to church. And most of the church take a big hit in attendance because of that. So, young people, discern your time. Not everything is good. No, not everything is good, but not everything is beneficial to you. Not everything is beneficial to you. So there's a second sermon about this. What are you going to do about it? You know, what are you going to do about it? But right now, just to know that you live in a very unusual time, very challenging time. Temptations everywhere in your life. And just be careful. Just be careful. Okay, we have a signing ceremonies for and then there is lunch. There's lunch today. Mother's Day lunch. I assume they have better food. All food are created by God. It's good. Okay. But they have lunch, and after the signing, we have lunch. So help me to put everything back, and we'll see you in just an announcement. Next week is GCBCR will come here to give us their last, their mission team will be here. This is the last time they'll be here this year. So Pastor Larry will be here from Southside Church, and I will be going to his church to preach, but not in the English, but in the Chinese session. And then Lynchburg Week, which is the week after next week, which is the 25th, we will not have a worship service here. So 25th, we won't have anybody, anything here. And then June 1st, it will be our last Sunday worship here until we resume in August. We haven't decided when we're going to start. We're going to resume, but June 1st is the last Sunday here. I hope that you guys all got it. We're going to post this on WeChat group, the English WeChat group. Okay, let's pray, and then we can be dismissed. Thank you.